Well, our hymns today, as many weeks, have been full of the theme of the everlasting and ongoing ministry of Christ in heaven. I don't know if you spot it. When we focus on a theme like this on Sunday evenings, you then begin to realize it's a rich vein for not just our hymnology, but for Scripture. But we've already sung tonight all kinds of things in relation to this, haven't we? I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. We've sung that already this evening. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find none other is so loving, good, and kind. That's talking about Jesus today in that office and in his role as head of the church and lover of his people. Or the hymn we sang at the very beginning, Jesus, our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of glory, and our King of love. Jesus in heaven is working. Jesus in heaven is reigning. Jesus in heaven is building. Jesus in heaven is continuing the work that the Father has given him to do for us, his people. And this evening our theme is Jesus as the head of the church. Christ there seated in heaven, reigning forever as the head of his church. We want to look at some of the ways in which he continues to work as head. Being the head is not just a figurehead position. You can be the head of an organization sometimes and do nothing. It's just a kind of a figurehead and a sort of a notional position. Well, Jesus' headship is not like that. We are his body, we've read in 1 Corinthians 12. And we are members of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Part of the body of Jesus Christ, of which he is the head. We look to him, and he is the one that sustains and builds and keeps the body together. It was by Christ that we entered the body. There's no membership or entry into the body of Christ without salvation in Christ and trust in him. And it's only with his ongoing work and leadership and headship that we are kept now and forever in the body of Christ. It's a position of authority. It's mentioned there at the exact moment of Christ's ascension, as he was taken up into heaven, you remember. In Matthew 28, we have the account there of the Great Commission. And as Jesus was taken up into glory to begin that wonderful ministry and work in heaven, he speaks that Great Commission, not just to those 11, but to all of his disciples who will follow. And you remember the words there recorded by Matthew's gospel. Jesus came to them and said, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then he was taken up to be with his Father again. It's a position of authority. All authority is given to me. The headship, the authority is given to Christ. And that's an eternal authority. When Daniel, in that vision in chapter 7, you remember we looked at it when we studied Daniel, that vision of the Son of Man, he describes an everlasting authority which is given to the Son. The headship of Christ is for now and forever. He's head of the church in this phase and portion of earth's history. In this section of redemptive history between the ascension and the second coming of Christ, Jesus is head of the church. And in that next sure to come phase of redemptive history, after the return of Christ to this world and in the ongoing reign of Christ with his people, he too, even there, will be the head of the church. Christ has all authority forever. And whatever scale we could choose, he is the head. He has eternal authority. It was given to him before time began. but through his work of incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, the headship of Christ over his church has been forged and fulfilled, that which was given to him even before time began. And all through Revelation, we can see a glimpse into heaven of the different unique ways in which Christ is head over his church. Describes his dignity and authority. He's the one with the keys, you remember. He's the one who can break open the seals. He is the one that holds the destiny of his people in their hands. He is the head. He is the door through which they all go. And I want this evening for us to look at the different ways in which the authority of the head of the church operates and the way in which it means something to us. I don't want this to be a cold-hearted study of what the New Testament says about the head of the church. We've looked at it a number of other times. But tonight I want it to be a warm-hearted reflection on how special it is for Christians today, on a sunny day, or on a day where it hails cats and dogs. Can it hail cats and dogs? Well, it almost did earlier on. And on any day that we face, how crucial and intimate it is for us that Christ is the head of the church. You know, Jesus chooses to be dependent and incomplete in some way without the church. He's the head and we are his body. If you chopped off my head and let it roll around the floor, it'd still be a head, but in some way it would be incomplete without being joined to the body and without controlling all the other things that are going on in my body. The head and the body joined together forever in Christ. So I want to look at five ways in which we can know and reflect and rejoice on the headship of Christ in the lives of a Christian. Here's number one, his infinite love. His infinite love. This is the dominant and overwhelming motive from the head to his body, to his church. It's one of love. Everything else we're going to say is in that context. We think of the cross in that context. It was a demonstration, a great and effective demonstration of the love of God for his church as he laid down his life for his people. We must think of our lives today with Christ in that context. The head is showing his love to me in enabling me as a member of his body to live and go on loving and to rejoice in him. It's an expression of his love. You remember in John 13, just before that portion where he washed the feet of the disciples, we're told there that he showed them the full extent of his love when he took up that towel and humbly acted as a servant to serve them. The New King James has it, he loved them to the end. He didn't just love his disciples that were in the room with him then. His infinite love reaches to all the disciples that are joined to him in his body. Jesus doesn't love you any less than John the Baptist or the Apostle John. Not more than Peter, not less than Peter, not less than the Apostle Paul, not less than all those disciples that were with him on that day. His infinite love for all that are joined to him. It's a love that knows no bounds. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, doesn't he? Of a love that knows no bounds. And he prays for the church that I might grasp it a bit more. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his might in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Notice, all the saints, every single one of them, joined to Christ as his head, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may fill to the measure of all the fullness of God. Or to grasp and to take in the infinite love of the head of the church for his people. We sing in one of our hymns, it passes knowledge, that dear love of thine. It's beyond my understanding, so great it is. One of old said it, put it like this: from learning in that school of Christ's love, we will never graduate. From learning in that school of Christ's love, we will never graduate. Friends, it's now and it's forever. As you begin to grasp the depths and the wonder of the infinite love of the head for his people, it's something that will go on and on forever between Christ and his people. So let us grasp something of that. Second, a sure protection. The head doesn't just love the members of his body, but he protects. If you're the head of your home, it's one of your responsibilities to protect your family. There are many others, but it's one of them. The head of a business, the head of a home, a family, the head of the army, the head of a ship with all its personnel on board. One of the roles of being the head is to protect. And Jesus does that for his church, his people, his body. He protects them. Revelation 2:1 describes this protective work. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the golden lampstands. That hand of holding those seven stars is describing the churches he's about to write to in Revelation. Those churches and all the believers in them, he holds them in his hand. God's hands are big and strong and powerful, and he protects and he holds the church securely in his grip to protect them. And let's be fully aware, friends, we do need protection, don't we? We need protection from the enemy. We saw this morning that the serpent, the liar, the deceiver, he's out to destroy the church and the gospel and Christians any way he can. We need protection. And he sends out his troops and all his many traps and temptations and devices. And we need protection from him and from his work. Praise God. Our Christ, our risen, glorious Christ. He's all-seeing. He's the head of the church, and he sees the secret plans. He's not just a rapid reaction force that responds to disaster. You know, there's an earthquake in Turkey or in China or different places, sometimes other countries. They send their rapid reaction force to the danger zone to respond to the disaster and to try and put things right. Well, our Christ is not just like that. He's not just there in heaven on call. But like a midwife on call out of hours when the baby's due to come. The midwife's got to be there. The baby won't wait. So the midwife comes out on call and responds to the need. Well, the head of our church, our Christ, he's not just protecting us on call. But he knows and he sees all things. And he has planned his perfect way to protect his people. And to equip them to stand against the enemy. He anticipates every move of the enemy, and he makes provision to secure his people forever. Friends, when God stands for us, when our Christ is our Savior and our Defender, who can be against us? In the face of God's enemies and ours, Paul describes in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So despite the fact that the church is very weak, and we are, we're frail, we're flawed, we're weak, we're often divided. We're often under attack, despite the fact that we're weak, and despite the fact the opposition is very, very great and very powerful. Sometimes it's outsiders attacking, and as we saw this morning, sometimes it's inside, messing and playing with our minds and our hearts. Despite the fact of all of that, the head of the church, in his infinite love, will protect his church. He holds us in his hand, and he's doing it every day. He's not just doing it figuratively. He's actively, positively doing it every day. The church for whom he fought, the church for whom he died, he's doing it. It's part of his ascended, ongoing work. Today, God is for us right now. He wasn't just for us on the cross in the past. We remember the cross around our Lord's table in a few moments. But he wasn't just for us then. But now he's kind of just resting and waiting with his feet up. He's for us today when we're in him. What a glorious privilege. It's the way to face every difficulty, knowing that he loves us and he is for us. Here's a third great benefit of him being our head day by day. He is the secret of the body's unfailing growth. Are you still growing? Some of you are. The way you put away lunch today, some of you, I can tell you're still growing. But some of us have stopped growing. Some of us are over the kind of the hump in the middle and we're kind of on the decline. Some of us don't stand as tall as we once stood. Some of us haven't got the control of our memories that we once had. Some of us have reached our full height and full stature and now we're declining. The body grows and grows and grows, the human body, but then there comes a time when it stops growing. And eventually, of course, our bodies will decay. And at that moment, the analogy with the body just breaks down a little bit. This great analogy of the spiritual body and the human body, well, they are not alike on this point. They both grow and grow and grow, but the human body, it comes to a point where it stops growing and even it decays. My friend, the spiritual body of Christ will never stop growing. It will never decay. It will never reach full size and then be replaced by something else. The church is a mega growing thing. And Christ as our head is the secret of our growth and the church's growth. People are continually being saved every day all around the world. Thousands upon thousands. Tens of thousands every week if the numbers are to be believed. All the time the church is growing. The ransomed are being set free. Prisoners cast out of prison and set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. While ever the body of his church is on earth, conversions will be adding to the church, on and on and on. And these are signs of the Savior's work. He's active even today, applying his death upon the cross into people's lives and calling them. My friend, did you think that the call and the voice of Jesus was just once over history and now we just sit back and play the tape over and over again? It doesn't work that way. It's not like an old news clip that they just keep digging out, you know, like an old version of the two Ronnies that they play over and over again on a Saturday night. It doesn't work that way. Christ is calling on and on and on every day. He's still calling his people as the great shepherd. Calling them that they might be saved. And every day he calls, and every day people respond. The church is growing. The head of the church is calling out to his body, and they are being saved and joined and added to his church. It's part of his ministry and his work day by day to call others that the body might continually grow. It's the role of the good shepherd, as we'll see in another week. So we look at the role of the good shepherd. Speaking to those who are his sheep, who hear his voice and follow him. All through the book of the Acts, we've been looking at it on Sunday mornings, haven't we? All through the book of the Acts, you can trace God's work and the church growing from place to place. It's not just the Acts of the Apostles. The book is called that, isn't it? The Acts of the Apostles. I think that's a bad title, really. It ought to be the Acts of the Holy Spirit or the mighty works of God through the apostles' lives or something like that. That'd be more accurate, wouldn't it? Take, for example, Acts 2.47. Here the apostles have been doing their work and preaching, but Acts 2.47 gives us exactly what is really going on. They're praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, but it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was the work of God. Let's not get it out of balance. We labor, but it's his work and his is the increase. And he is the source of growth. The Lord added. And even today, the Lord is still adding. It could be your day. The Lord might add you today. The Lord has added to his church this year some of the people that are with us even tonight. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? God is adding. Christ as the head of the church. He is the secret of the body's unfailing growth. He is building his church. What's our responsibility in this growth? Well, we have a little part to play, don't we? We must welcome those who are added to the church. That's one of our roles. We must welcome them. He will add them. We must welcome them. We must continue in our labors to seek to reach the lost, even when it gets difficult, knowing that God, through our labors in the difficulty, will add. There's a wonderfully instructive passage in Acts 18, isn't there? Which brings together our labors in the difficulties and God's work to grow his church. It's a lovely couple of verses which describes Paul's attitude to this. Acts 18, verses 9 to 11. Paul's in Corinth. He's having a tough time of it. He's ready to throw the towel in. He's facing opposition. There seems to be no fruit instantly. And Paul wonders whether it's time to move on. It's hard. It's difficult for him. It wasn't a bed of roses being an apostle, just like it isn't to be a Christian in the 21st century. But he says here in Acts 18, verses 9 to 11, as he's thinking about this, he's sleeping, look, verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. That's the head of the church speaking to his apostle. And no one is going to attack and harm you. That's the protection of the head of the church. Because I have many people in this city. That's the head of the church saying he's going to grow his people. See, all the signs are there. And see what Paul did, verse 12. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. He carried on. He stayed. He stuck around. He labored on in the difficulties because the head of the church had reaffirmed that he was in control, he would protect, and he would grow his church. I have many people in this city. We labor on, but he is the one that grows his church. Well, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, again, gives us a great strategy and philosophy for these things, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 3, 6. Against divisions between people, against bickering as to who does the most work, all of that should just not be part of God's church. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, Paul says humbly, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. My friend, it doesn't matter if you're a planter or a waterer, or from time to time God blesses you with being a reaper. God will make it grow. God will make it grow. The secret of the growth of the church is the headship of Christ today. And because he is our head, the church will grow. The church will only stop growing when Christ ceases to be its head. And that'll be never. What a wonderful encouragement to us to labor on in our evangelism, in our ministry, in our prayers, in our labors, in our service for God. We have our parts to play, of course. Every member has its part. Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, those wonderful passages of every member having its part. We read it, didn't we? The eye, the ear, the sense of smell, the hand, the feet. Everyone has its part, but God is the one that joins us together and makes his body grow. What a great ministry of Christ today. Number 4, the unseen presence of Christ with us and our secret of power. The unseen presence of Christ and the secret of power. The head is not remote from us. He's not independent. He's not one of those faceless generals that never meets his men. He's not one of those dictators who sits in the Politburo and never meets the masses. He's not one of those heads. He's uniquely bound up with his people. He's not a politician that spends 4 days a week or 5 days a week in Parliament and just maybe half or 1 day a week, if you're lucky, goes home to the constituency and mixes amongst the commoners. Jesus isn't like that. He is bound up and present with his people every day. In that great commission we read in Matthew 28, we've already commented on his great authority that he has. But then he says to them, all authority is given in heaven and on earth to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And then he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. My presence is with you as you seek to obey and follow me. I am the one that will give you help and power. The secret of your success in obedience. It's not in you. It's only in me. I'll give you the grace and the power to do that. The grace and the power to live the Christian life. We haven't got it within ourselves. It must come from our head. You don't look to Christ once to become a Christian. When you become a Christian, you begin looking to your head every day. You never grow out of it. It's not just baby Christians that need looking to Christ like babies need nappies or like toddlers need bottles. You don't grow out of those things like you grow out of those. We look to Christ every day. We look to him. and his presence within us is the secret of our power. Mark's got this wonderful phrase in his description of the Great Commission, Mark 16. He puts it slightly differently than Matthew and adds a phrase which is so important. Mark 16, verse 20. Just after the Great Commission, Jesus has gone back to heaven. He's now involved in his ascended ministry in glory as Christ. And the disciples go about their work. And Mark describes for us there, Mark 16, 20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And then it says, notice, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. But Jesus has just gone back to heaven. The disciples on earth preaching, and the Lord's just gone. But Mark said quite correctly, and the Lord worked with them. He's in heaven, he's ascended, but his ministry goes on. As the head of the church, as the unseen presence with his people, the secret of their power working with them, growing the church. How wonderful that is. Paul experienced the same in 2 Timothy 4:17. You don't need to turn to it. He said there, again in a time of difficulty, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Some of you can say that at times when you've been alone, abandoned. But you can say, the Lord stood with me. He wasn't another body on a chair next to you, but he was with you in power. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The head of the church with his people in every situation. God's is the essential work of building his church, not ours. And he will be our strength that we need to partner him in that task we share with him. But all the glory is his. It's the work of the risen Christ. And it's the glory of the risen Christ too. Being with his people. And being the strength that we need to keep going. Here's number five. The perfect knowledge of the head. And the control and discipline of the body. It's not what you might think of initially. But it's very important, isn't it? The analogy of the body is quite clear at this point. My body does all sorts of wonderful stuff that I don't understand the half of. But it's controlled through my head, isn't it? My central nervous system. All those lovely receptors, sensory receptors and processes in my brain that control what's going on in every part of my body. I don't have to think to raise my hand. I just raise my hand and it just raises. My brain controls it. It knows all the things. If you stab me with a pin, my brain knows it's painful. It picks it up and processes the data. And in a nanosecond, I scream, ouch, and the blood flows, hopefully. My brain knows everything that's going on in all those parts of my body. And my friend, as our spiritual head, Jesus knows everything that's going on in the body. He knows all of that. When somebody pricks the church, the pain is felt. When the church is weak and needs to be uplifted and encouraged, he knows that. When the church is facing danger and needs to be strengthened, he knows that. When the church is discouraged and is flagging, he knows that and comes to reassure. When the church has stepped over the line and is becoming unholy and compromised, he knows that. When the church is disobedient and stubborn and rebellious, he knows that. The head of the church, in his ongoing ministry, he governs over and disciplines the church. He knows all things that we need. Again, we'll notice that afresh as we look at the role of the great shepherd in heaven. The shepherd of his sheep. But as we look at all those letters in the book of the Revelation to those churches, we see that to the different churches, different kinds of discipline was required. The church at Thyatira, they tolerated false teaching. And they needed to be more robust and repent. The church at Ephesus, they'd lost sight of all that had burned within their hearts before. They'd lost it. And they were called to turn back and to come back from where they'd slipped. The church at Laodicea, lukewarm, needed to be rebuked and chastened to come back. Our head, he knows all of these things. Of course, in order to receive our head's perfect knowledge and discipline and direction, we need to have open hearts. We need to be willing. We need to be open to self-examination and to the word's examination. We need to not lie to the Holy Spirit as Ananias and Sapphira did this morning. But we need to be open to Christ's Spirit prompting and calling and leading and directing our hearts and our lives. We need to do that as we come around the Lord's Supper, making sure that we don't eat and drink unworthily. We shouldn't take part in that supper if we are not part of the body and joined to Christ. You're very welcome to stay. Everybody is welcome to stay for that part of the service. But as the bread is given around, if Christ is not your head and your Savior, if you've not repented and turned to Him and been changed and transformed by Him, then just let that bread pass by. Don't take of it, because He's not your head. And to eat of it would be to blaspheme Him. And you shouldn't do that. You mustn't. So we take the bread and the wine to celebrate and rejoice and remember and worship and be full of thanks that He is our head and He knows all about us. He knows all the needs of the body, both corporate and individual. And He will keep us, for He is our head. Friends, these are things that Jesus is doing every day. He won't ever forget. He won't ever overlook. He won't ever be so caught up with His authority over all the universe and keeping the planets in their place and making sure that comets don't zap the earth and hit the earth in the wrong time and making sure that gravity still works. And He's not so taken up with all of those things that He doesn't know every little part of the church as its head to love and to keep and to grow and to strengthen and to be with and to discipline and cherish and make more holy. The head is doing all of these things. Our glorious Christ. Friends, let's rejoice in that. Let's live in the light of that. Let's never act independent of our head. Let's never think that we're in charge or in control of our own lives. Let's never devalue the ongoing ministry of Christ. Let's never try to take the glory for ourselves. Let's praise God for the work that He is doing day by day on our behalf. Let's look to Him more, call upon Him more, trust in Him more. And may all of these be part of our daily praise and worship as we seek to live dependent lives upon our head day by day. If Jesus wasn't doing all of these things, not a single one of us would be kept. But because He is in heaven doing all of those today, not a single part of His body is worthless. And not a single part of His body will be lost. Praise God that it's so. May He grow our body. And may we all be a part as we praise Him in Jesus' name. Amen.